Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of God.
Testament reading is from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Snow of winter there. Ruth Wales was born and raised in Blackstone, Virginia, on the family farm. Nicknamed Babe by her father, to the Hale side of the family, she was always known as Babe. With the birth of her first grandchild, she announced that henceforth she would be known as Grandma Babe. Her six grandchildren, seven great-grandchildren, and countless nieces, nephews, grands, etc., always called her Babe. Amber, Jacob, Nick, Julia. She loved when you ran through the door screaming, "Grandma Babe," at the top of your lungs, and you did that really well. Her sister Dolly was her only sibling, and they were lifelong best friends, sharing their lives regularly in countless phone calls and visits. Mom missed Dolly deeply when she passed away suddenly this past Thanksgiving. They were truly best friends, although none of us could ever figure out why Aunt Dolly spoke with this sweet southern drawl and Mom talked like a northerner. In 1945, after completing her degree at the Presbyterian School of Christian Education in Richmond, she moved to the big city to work at Bethesda Presbyterian Church. She met her future mother-in-law, a church member, who introduced her to her son Robert, home from the war. When asked once what initially attracted her to Dad, she dreamily said, "His summer uniform." The rest is history. My mom and dad were married in 1947 and moved to the suburbs to raise their family. She was an active volunteer in all our childhood activities, and as a charter member of the Colesville Presbyterian Church, was one of their first female elders. A lifelong Presbyterian, Babe learned her theories on life from her father and mother. She was a modern activist long before her time. People were people, no matter the color of their skin, who they married, or where they came from. Everyone had a right to decent housing, a meal, and an education. As a pacifist, she chose to send the three of us to a Quaker high school during the turbulent 60s. Although I can't let that line go by without mentioning that it may have had more to do with my brother's academic skills. She truly believed in supporting the meek of the earth. We often received chickens, llamas, and goats for Christmas, courtesy of Heifer Project. Babe loved books and learning. In her retirement, she discovered another interesting skill, creative writing. Or at least my children believe that it was their Grandma Babe that wrote the many letters they received from Hobbs, Bubba, and Tubby, their cats and dog. These letters always contained advice. Climb to the top of the drapes, or in human words, reach for the stars. Learning how to maintain a meticulous litter box will serve you well in life. And of course, her most famous edict, which they all saw more than once: if you spend this $10 on any form of tobacco, alcohol, or gambling, it will immediately turn to ash in your hands. And that was usually written on a sticky note that was attached to the $10 bill. She loved and believed in all her grandchildren's dreams to reach for the stars, providing emotional and financial support, even when others doubted them. She listened to every detail of their educations, college careers, assorted degrees, and employment choices. In our large, extended, blended family, she loved everyone the same. She so admired her son-in-laws that Carol and I were informed more than once that leaving our husbands would result in us being immediately ousted from the family. In the last 4 months, she held her newborn great-grandson, Joseph Daniel Petito, who's busy having a bottle, and traveled to Florida for Pete and Kristen's wedding. Babe wanted to try anything new. The more daring, the better. If it generated a phone conversation where at least one of her children said, "She wants to do what?" guaranteed it was on her list. Long before any other family member would even consider it, she flew above Frederick County in a small plane piloted by grandson Pete, particularly enjoying when he practiced steep turns. Babe logged more flight hours than the entire rest of the family combined. Through many of her escapades, my dad would just smile calmly, but I'm afraid he's thinking of taking up some of her traits, since last week he asked me for a segue. Always travelers, after retirement, my mom and dad, along with dear Aunt Dolly, roamed the United States, including Alaska. She traveled frequently with brother Steve and his family, often misbehaving in the back seat, causing Pamela and Philip to cry, "Grandma poked me." They visited Costa Rica, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, the Arctic Circle, and Norway, to name just a few. On one notorious walking tour of England, in typical Babe fashion, not until they deplaned at Dulles did any of us know that Daddy had fallen and broken his ankle. Recently, she discovered traveling with Barbara Kirshner Daniel and friends from ERUCC. In just the last 10 years, she's walked in the footsteps of Paul, flew in a hot air balloon in Turkey, cruised through the Panama Canal, and kissed the Blarney Stone in Ireland. This fall, she was to cruise the Eastern Seaboard, and she'll be there in spirit with that group. One of Mom's greatest joys were her friends. She and her dear friend, Ann Niblock, were adventurous. A typical call went, "We rode the train to Union Station today and walked around just to see what it was like." Just so you know, Ann, she always blamed those trips on you. She was beyond excited to discover that Molly McLeod, the daughter of her college friend Copy, had moved to Frederick and Frederick Presbyterian Church. She'd known Molly since she was born, and having her here added sparkle to her life. She was involved with the local artist community, particularly her good friends, the artists Ann Snyder and Martha Pierce. Martha is also Dr. Martha Pierce, her personal physician, whom she loved and trusted. The family wishes to thank Martha for her love and wisdom last week. There was nothing more special to Mom than her many friends. Every time we see fireworks, we'll think of Babe. She absolutely loved them. On an elder hostel trip to Disney with Carol, she spent every night on the balcony watching fireworks. And for years, she nagged Carol and Jim to build a house on a hill in Middletown to provide her a permanent place to watch the Middletown fireworks. In Frederick, she volunteered with the Alzheimer's Association, Church Women United, and the Red Cross. With her dear friends Tom and Ann Niblock, she saw a need and founded the Frederick chapter of Habitat for Humanity. Her volunteer work for Habitat was also almost a full-time job, from which she unsuccessfully tried to retire several times. In 2002, she received the Governor's Volunteer and Service Award from Lieutenant Governor Kathleen Kennedy Towson. Now, I do need to mention that Babe had her quirks and the ability to drive us crazy at times. She always let the gas tank light come on because, after all, you have 100 more miles. Chickens were purchased in pieces, not whole, due to a farm childhood of cutting up chickens. The wasps that still live in the floor of her deck are peaceful creatures, and so we were not allowed to spray them. She saved countless Christmas cards, letters, and old calendars. This is a genetic trait which she has passed to one of her grandchildren. Everything we ever told her was fact-checked on the internet. She was the most computer-literate 90-year-old I know outside of my dad. She had a computer, cell phone, iPad, and Facebook page. This week, I even discovered she had a LinkedIn account. I don't know why. And she wanted to understand how they all worked. In the past few weeks, we had many conversations about her frustration with Facebook and what it chose to feed to her page. Babe was adamant about staying healthy. My children tolerated the healthy Fig Newtons that she insisted was the only cookie they should eat, right up until she crossed the line by serving them a newer, healthier version of Fig Newtons, which tastes like cardboard. She hiked with the Frederick Senior Rec Council and took up cross-country skiing in her 70s and 80s. And three times a week, she practiced yoga at Mountain Spirit Yoga with her dear Carla McAdams. Son Dan used to call me periodically, and he would complain about his grandmother's latest escapade. "What was I going to do about it?" he'd say. "You can't let Grandma do that." Well, today, babe is in heaven. She's with her dear sister, Aunt Dolly. Their travel hats are on their heads, and their maps are in their hands. And they just said, "Now, Danny, we have this adventure planned, and you are going to get to drive. It'll be a grand trip."
I want to thank my friend Eric for inviting me to participate in today's service as we celebrate Ruth's life. I never could get to call her babe, but dear to all of us. Hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
I wonder how many of us here today have said that when I grow up, I would like to be Ruth Wales. Okay, I know that most of us are taller than Ruth, but you know what I mean. I want to be like Ruth Wales because I want to celebrate having a partner in life like Bob, who gives the time and the space and the encouragement for his spouse to do her thing and celebrate her gifts, and she vice versa. I want to be the kind of mother like Ruth that encourages my children to give back, and that we see in the generous lives of Judy and Carol and Steve and their families. Someday I want to be a cool grandmother and great-grandmother like Ruth, and demonstrate to my grandchildren and great-grandchildren that I love everything they do and that they say. Ruth was an inspiration, as you know, to so many of us. And on some of our trips, when some in the group would be moaning and groaning about the heat or taking yet another step, we would be looking and there would be Ruth way out front, climbing the hill in Ireland with her little purse, crossbody across her. She'd be taking those steps up the steep hill to the Parthenon in Greece, or stepping out on those stony paths in Turkey. And I remember saying to people in the group, "God, I hope I can walk like that when I'm 60, let alone when I'm in my 80s. And people around us would keep asking, like, "How old is that little old lady you have with you?" And I said, "Don't you be calling her little or old. I'm telling you right now." I want to be like Ruth Wales because she lived her faith. She embodied in her heart, with her words and her actions, her love of God and her hope for humanity and the world. I want to be like Ruth Wales because at a time when women were still marginalized in church and society, Ruth never saw barriers or walls. She always saw a crack to go through, an opening, an opportunity. Some of us younger people think that we've gotten to where we are today because we're just so talented and wonderful. And yet I am always aware and so grateful that it was women like Ruth and her good friend Ann Niblock and others who paved the way for women like me to be ordained in the church. They demonstrated the strength and the gifts of women's leadership at a time when women were not always welcomed. And I don't want any of us ever to forget the work that's been done by women like Ruth in groups such as Church Women United, who brought awareness to this community some 50 years ago around caring for immigrants and called attention to the needs of women in prison and of course the ongoing need for affordable housing. Ruth was working on those issues long before the rest of us. And she has been honored and thanked for that work, and she was so humble in receiving these words of praise. But in typical Ruth fashion, she would say things like, "I wonder how much that plaque cost." "That plaque could have been used for nails or something else for the people I care about." I want to be like Ruth because I want to be a lifelong learner. I know that there may be another perspective or another way of doing things. I hope we would all like to be like Ruth Wales and take risks, because if you take a risk and you try something new, you just never know what joy it may bring to you or someone else's life, and it may just be that thing that transforms another. And I hope more than anything else that, like Ruth, we will never give up on humanity. I am so grateful to have had Ruth in my life as someone who has nurtured my faith and my ministry. And my question for all of us today, and me included: who will carry on Ruth's work? Who among us is mentoring younger people like Ruth did? How can we be an inspiration to others? We can talk about how in Ruth's death, some light went out of the world, but Ruth would be the first one to remind us that the divine spark of light and hope lives within each one of us. And so I hope and pray that as a tribute to Ruth's life, that we will, like her, let it shine, and that we will continue this work of healing and love and justice for all of God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I hope you will join with me immediately following this service of worship downstairs in the fellowship for a time of refreshment and a time to greet the family after this morning's worship. I received a phone call late morning a week ago, yesterday actually, that Ruth Wales had been taken to the emergency room. I went immediately there, and Barbara Kirshner Daniel, a friend of the family and a friend of mine, was there. None of the family had arrived there yet, but I knew it was bad from the look on Barbara's face. Ruth was at her Wednesday morning yoga class, one of three yoga sessions that she participated in every week. You heard it, three. Now, in case you didn't know this, Ruth was just shy of turning 91 in a couple of weeks. Three yoga sessions a week. But Ruth collapsed during yoga, and the rescue squad was called. Ruth was taken to the ER, and we would later find out that Ruth had had a major stroke. I met Bob and longtime family friend Molly McLeod at the door of the ER. Bob wanted to know the status, and at that time, I think I said something like, "Let's just get inside, but it doesn't look too good." Of course, as the morning turned into the afternoon, and the afternoon turned into the evening, Bob was kept well abreast of the seriousness of the situation and the probable outcome. Now, this is important for everyone here to hear. Ruth and Bob and their children and Ruth's doctor had important conversations about desires and wishes related to medical care in such a serious situation. And if you haven't had such conversation with your pastor or your physician and family members, do so. Anyway, the family gathered. They said their goodbyes. They told stories and remembered fond times as they watched and as they waited. Ruth remained unconscious until she died early the next morning, Thursday morning, just after midnight. And so, the death of Ruth Wales brings us here this morning. For sure, we come to say our goodbyes. For sure, we come in the midst of our pain at the reality of losing our wife and our mother, our grandmother, our mother-in-law, our aunt, our travel companion, our dear friend, our fellow church member. And for sure, we come to ask God for peace and presence and comfort at this great time of loss. And in the midst of that, we dare to come to celebrate her life and to give thanks to God for Ruth and all that she meant to each of us and to so many, many more. I met with Bob and children Judy, Carol, and Steve and their spouses and grandchildren Emily and Peter last Thursday morning to talk about Ruth's service, about the service this morning. We talked about things that were important to Ruth, like children, not just her children, all children. We talked about Habitat for Humanity, about Ruth being a part of that organization in Frederick County from the ground up. And I know that it meant the world to her to be at the mortgage burning celebration of the first Habitat home here in Frederick County that just took place a month or so ago. We talked about her involvement with Church Women United and yoga and traveling and music. We talked about education, her journey at Blackstone College for Women, and then the Presbyterian School of Christian Education in Richmond, but not stopping there, but going on to earn two more master's degrees. We talked about not just Ruth's education, but the importance of education for all. We talked about Ruth not being able to sit still, neither physically nor mentally. She was always doing and going and planning and figuring out what was next in her life of adventure. Another trip, another skill to learn, another task, another place to volunteer. We talked about Ruth's finger. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. The one on the front of the bulletin and the one up here, the one that just says, you know. We've talked about hymns to be sung today and possible scripture readings, stories like the Good Samaritan and Jesus telling his disciples to let the little children come unto me. And then I asked Bob if Ruth had made any plans and maybe had jotted some notes down and stuck them, tucked them somewhere, maybe tucked in a Bible or a nightside table or in a lockbox somewhere. And Bob said, no, she wouldn't do it. Even though she kept needling me to write my own obituary, she wouldn't do it. Her children talked about Ruth living forever. Ruth even had plans for another 10 years or so. More places to see, more things to try, more, just more. Now, notice that I said Ruth had plans for another 10 years. Notice that I did not say Ruth thought she would live forever. Ruth knew she would not live forever. She was well acquainted with death, the death of her dear sister Dolly, the death of her grandson Danny. No, she was well acquainted with death. And she knew how this world works. She knew death was a part of life on this earth, but it did not mean she was not going to live life to the fullest that she could until this life was over. So not Ruth thought she would live forever, but rather Ruth had plans for another 10 years. I think it's an important lesson for us. Live life now to the fullest. Enjoy all that God has given to us. Enjoy the world and everything in it. Places to see and family to be with and to love. Things to do like helping others by volunteering and by giving. New skills to learn like knowing QuickBooks and using it for organizations in town. Just living. Just living and being the person God has called us to be, enjoying the life God has given for us as long as we possibly can. I think all of this is how Ruth lived out her calling. I think this is how she lived out her calling, the calling that called her to Presbyterian School of Christian Education, the calling to work in the church, the calling to be an elder in the church, the calling to work for Housing for All, the calling to be a support of incarcerated women, the call to balance the books for Habitat, the calling to go down a wooden slide with the grandkids at age 80-something, the calling to ride in a car all the way to Florida for her grandson's wedding just a couple of months ago at the age of 90. Ruth knew she was not going to do it all forever, but Ruth knew she was going to do it all for as long as she could. Ruth knew about life, and she knew about death. Now, as I said a few minutes ago, when I asked Bob if Ruth had written down anything about today, any wishes or thoughts, any scripture readings or hymns or any plans, the answer was a firm no. Ruth did, however, share with Molly the hymn that we just sang a few moments ago. And Molly thinks that they might have been out to lunch and somehow the hymn came up. Molly thinks that we may have just sung the hymn here in worship on a recent Sunday. Molly remembers Ruth saying, "That's a wonderful hymn. I want it sung at my funeral. It just sums up my whole theology. In the bulb, there is a flower. In the seed, an apple tree. In cocoons, a hidden promise. Butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning. In our time, infinity. In our doubt, there is believing. In our life, eternity. In our death, a resurrection. At the last, a victory. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see." Today, for Ruth, any doubt is now believing. In her death, there is resurrection, and now at last there is a victory, for all is complete for Ruth. Her baptism is made complete in her death. Her calling has come full circle. Her journey has come to an end. Her quest to love and to serve and to give and to do and to go is finished, for new life. New resurrected life in Christ is hers. So we do celebrate. We do celebrate and give thanks to God this day for Ruth. We give thanks to God for her journey and her faith, her living and her giving, her going and her doing, her calling. And yes, even today we give thanks to God for the new life that she knows in death. To her God, and the God who brings about flowers from bulbs and resurrection from death, be all praise and glory, power and honor this day and forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. O God of grace, you have given us new life and living hope in Jesus Christ. We thank you that by dying, Christ destroyed the power of death, and by rising from the grave, opened the way to eternal life. Help us to know that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love that we know in Christ Jesus our Lord. O God, before whom generations rise and pass away, we praise you for all your servants who, having lived this life in faith, now live with you. Especially this day, we thank you for your servant Ruth, whose baptism is now complete in death. We praise you for the gift of her life. And for all in Ruth that was good and kind and faithful, and for the grace you gave her that kindled in her the love of your dear name and enabled her to serve you faithfully. We thank you for Ruth, death is past and pain ended, and that she has now entered the joy you have prepared. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you promised many rooms within your house. Give us faith to see beyond touch and sight some sure sign of your kingdom, and when and where our vision fails, help us to trust your love which never fails. Lift our heavy sorrow. Comfort the family and friends, especially Bob. And give us good hope in Jesus, so that we may bravely walk our earthly way and look forward to a glad reunion in the life to come. For we pray these and all our prayers through the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Ruth. Acknowledge, we humbly pray, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive Ruth now into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Holy God, by your creative power, you gave us life, and in your redeeming love, you have given us new life in Christ. We commend Ruth to your merciful care in the faith of Christ our Lord, who died and rose again to save us, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.